Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Show to camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. A little Thursday Night Football song there. Amazon tonight with the Vikings and the Los Angeles Chargers. On the radio side of that call tonight, our guy Ross Tucker, who joins us now, talks some NFL as we head towards Week 8. Ross, how you doing today?
Ross.
I am fantastic. Good morning from, or afternoon for you guys, from Los Angeles. And I think I've done almost every Thursday night game this year. So, yeah, we got Carson Wentz, our old friend, again, and the Vikings against the Chargers. Huge game for both these teams.
Yeah, it'll be a fun one tonight to kick off Week 8 in the NFL. Ross, we're looking forward to Eagles-Giants on Sunday, but also looking back at what happened last week with the Eagles and the Vikings. Ross, one thing we've been debating today is whether or not we're going to see more of what worked for the Eagles on Sunday, which was Jalen Hurts under center, specifically the under center play action. He was 4-for-4 on that. That was the big bomb to Devontae Smith. Ross, what did you think of how they did that on Sunday and adjusted their offense? And then, second part, do you think we're going to see more of that moving forward?
Well, I thought it was awesome. I mean, obviously, everything I thought that Hurts did was incredible, and I thought Petullo really called a really good game and deserves a bunch of credit for the design and the scheme around it. You know, the thing that people don't realize, any play action is good, but the under center play action, there's just a bigger menu of options. There aren't that many play action passes out of the gun because there aren't that many runs. The other thing is the whole advantage, guys, of doing the play action is that you force the D-line and the linebackers and to some extent the safeties to at least read run or play run for a split second. If you do it from gun, it's like a really quick, you know, half-hearted, put the ball in the running back's belly and then throw it. If you do it from under center, you don't even know if he's given the ball to the running back or not for like a full second, right? Because he's under center. He has to get back from center. Saquon goes left or right. He goes over there, puts the ball in the belly, whatever, fakes it. So it forces the defense to play run for at least half a second longer, which is so valuable for the offensive line because at that point they're on the D lineman. They got him, and there aren't very many D linemen that are able to transition rush to get pressure at that point, which is one reason why Hurts had so much time. And to answer your question, it would be ludicrous to not use it this much or to not continue to use it. I would have no understanding why it wouldn't continue to be a pretty big part of what they've done. I think they might have been under center maybe 15 times or something on Sunday, which is way more than they had been the rest of the year. And it worked. The thing is, it seems like it works for almost everybody.
Yeah, and to piggyback on what you're saying, Ross, if say, for instance, as a defensive line, if I get the jump on you and I have to take that beat to run a pass, it gives you a chance to recover. I mean, that's the biggest thing. It gives you a chance to recover and get back in your pass blocking or whatever it is, run blocking, and allows me not to make a play. That's basically what it does.
Well, listen, here's the reality. I was not good in obvious passing situations, one-on-one pass protection. I have short arms. I struggled. I loved play action because I would just sell the crap out of the run, and it looked like a run. And so the defensive lineman thought he was doing a decent job against the run. By the time he figured it out, I was on him. It was over. I was on him, and he was not going to be able to get pressure after that.
Ross Tucker with us here as we get ready for Eagles-Giants on Sunday. Ross, Brandon Graham returning to the Eagles, which all those rumors started to come out when we were doing the pregame show Sunday, and then, you know, by Tuesday it all became official. Ross, what's your expectation for BG? And I realize, you know, he's in a camp and he's just getting back here, but I look at it as if he could be what he was last year, that's a pretty big addition for the Eagles as they go towards the trade deadline and down the stretch of the season. What's your expectation for what they might get out of BG the second half of the season?
Well, first of all, you know, they essentially are giving him $5 million. Now, it's prorated for half the season, but that's a real number. You know, that's not like, hey, let's give this guy the minimum 1.5 or whatever. This is a real number, and I can guarantee you it's more money than Brandon was making doing the media stuff. So good for him for half the season. That's amazing. I think two things. I really believe on some level, and I'd love if they were taking truth serum, and Sirianni would never admit to this, I would love to know what percentage of this is what BG brings to the locker room, to the D-line meeting room. I'm talking about his personality, his energy, you know, the trash talking, everything that he brings to the table. I really do believe that that's a significant part of this, because they're going to get Nolan Smith back soon. They still might make a move at the trade deadline for another edge guy. I don't know if I really expect Brandon to play more than 20 snaps in a game. What I like about it, though, for a guy like him, is he's kind of like Hugh was, in the sense that neither guy was ever really like a speed rusher, Hugh more so than BG, or like a bendy guy. When I think about Hugh, when I think about BG, I think about power rushers. They came with physicality. They have explosive, powerful lower bodies. They came with their hands. So even if BG, quote unquote, lost a step or maybe isn't quite as agile, he's a power rusher anyway. He's coming to bring the physicality and attack that offensive lineman, which I really like, and I think they need with the other guys they have.
I agree on that, and I think he's going to help here. And Ross, I would say it's probably maybe close to 50-50 if I had a guess on that split. And I think what he could bring on the field is obviously they need, but also the locker room stuff. Ross, as we go towards the trade deadline, which is just a little about a week and a half away, and not this coming Tuesday, but the following one, Ross, when you look at the Eagles right now, and Howie's already made a good number of moves since training camp started, trading a bunch of picks for offensive depth pieces, but when you look at them right now, if you're Howie, if you could add one thing of significance, what would you add to this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer is a corner. And I'll tell you why. I know a lot of people are saying edge, 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 okay? They just signed Brandon Graham. They're going to get Nolan Smith back. And because of the way N'Kobe Dean played, as an off-the-ball backer, they're going to be able to put Campbell out there on the edge more. And I think he's going to end up making an impact with more edge snaps and end up being an effective player there. So they essentially, over the next couple weeks, are adding, in my mind, three edge guys, the Hunt and Ojulari and Uche or whatever. You know, so I think that's enough. I think that the bigger issue is they're going to continue to pick on the corner opposite Quinyon Mitchell. I know Cooper's been playing outside a little bit more, but that would be – and also Makuba's kind of been up and down, so there's a chance they would even want to put Cooper at safety in base more. I really think if they could get what they feel like is an upgrade at corner, that would be more pressing than edge rusher, because they got a bunch of guys at edge rusher, new guys, or guys coming back from injury in the mix. At corner, we've seen both Adoree and Ringo can be liabilities at times, and that's who these teams are going to pick on in the playoffs.
Ross, last one for you. Ross Tucker with us here. He's going to be on the call tonight. Westwood One Thursday Night Football. Ross, I keep looking at the NFC standings, and we think the Eagles are in a pretty good place now. They got off the losing streak, and they won. And the NFC East, maybe not quite what we thought the Commanders were going to be because they have injuries. So that feels good moving forward. But, Ross, I look at the NFC. It feels like it's a lot of good teams right now. And it feels to me like we could be headed for a conference where there's not much separation from the teams fighting for the one seed all the way down to six or seven. Now, how do you view the NFC? Because it feels to me like there's a bunch of teams headed towards about, you know, between 10 and 12 wins here.
Joe, how old are your kids, quick?
They are 10 and 8.
Was that a 6-7 reference? Can I go 6-7?
You know, they say it, and I just roll my eyes every time it is said in the house now. Every time.
Oh. Guess what? Guess what? I'm the opposite. I say it anytime I can. I'm going all in to try to single-handedly make it not cool anymore. Because if your dad is saying it every chance he gets,
it stops being cool.
At some point, you're a 12- and 13-year-old, my daughters, they're going to be like, okay, it's not cool anymore. Dad says it all the time. that's my goal. To your point, though, there are, right now, I think five, maybe six teams in the NFC that if they made the Super Bowl, that would not shock me. The Packers are good enough to go to the Super Bowl. The Eagles, certainly. I think the Bucks are, if they can get these guys healthy towards the end of the year. The Lions, certainly. The Rams, certainly. I don't think people realize, Joe, to your point, how good the Seahawks are. They are legitimately good, and I'm not even putting the Niners in there because I think losing Nick Bosa and Fred Warner is too much to overcome, but it's a very different conference this year. There's usually like two or three teams that you think are at the top and then maybe a couple that can get to the divisional round or maybe, but they're not going to the Super Bowl, and then a couple that you don't think they're going to win a playoff game. You are exactly right. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. There are seven teams in the NFC that it would not shock me if they went to the Super Bowl. I think the Niners the least likely because they lost two of maybe the 10 best defensive players in the sport.
Yeah, it's the conference is wild. It's going to be a wild NFC playoffs, and the Eagles need their positioning to get there and be in good spot. Ross, we appreciate it. Have a good call tonight. We'll be listening, and we'll catch up next week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Show to camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sounds great. See you guys.
There he goes. Ross Tucker there. On the way he framed the NFC, Hugh, that it's going to be a gauntlet to get to the Super Bowl this year. Just like there's not, I don't view it as there's going to be any like make-believe playoff teams. They're all going to be good.
No, it's going to be tough, man, because when you look at that West division, they all got the same record.
5-2.
Yeah, they all got the same record. So you type like, damn. So it's safe to say that at least two, maybe three.
I think all three are going to make it. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then, like, what do you have for everybody else? So it's one of those things where
they could beat each other up.
They could.
But they can't. Yeah, it's still a lot of football left to be played.
Or they could
still all
beat up on the Cardinals and all make it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Marathon, not a sprint, Hugh.
It is.
Hugh knows that. Let's go to Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Terrence!
Hugo Kawaza!
Terrence, what's up, buddy?
Guys, you guys saw my man VJ last night. I was telling Kyle, this kid is explosive. He got 34 points, man. That's impressive to me. And I told my brother last night, in a couple years, VJ and Maxie is going to be the top backcourt in the league. I don't know if this year, but give him a year or two, these guys are going to be the best backcourt in the NBA, the whole NBA.
Well, if they are, like, Terrence, and because I think McCain could play too. If they are and McCain is like a sixth man or like the third guard, we're going to have a lot of fun watching this team over the next few years if that happens.
Yeah, man, but holding us back right now, I heard a couple calls ago. Joel Embiid, man, Mr. Glass. Like, I feel like losing that weight really killed this guy. Losing that weight might have took from this guy's game. You know what I mean? He looks like Mr. Glass. And we're going to go to Paul George. This guy's stealing money. What, he played 10 games last year? He didn't play all summer. And you don't start the beginning of the season? You didn't play the whole – you didn't do nothing the whole summer. What could possibly be wrong with you, bro? What's wrong with you?
Let me ask you guys a question. If they told Paul George just to go home for the season and we'll give you your checks, but don't show up anymore, would anyone be upset? Would anyone care?
No, I wouldn't. He's stealing money, Joe. And I would package him, Paul George and Joel Embiid. I would package these guys in a deal and get them the hell out of here. Because,
well, I mean, I'd love that, Terrence. But you got to match salaries, though, in NBA trades. I mean, you'd have to take back like $100 million in salary to get them out of here.
And I also heard, guys, we might have to, you know, we always get on Daryl Morey, man, for the dumb moves he make. But he might have hit with Vijay, man. This guy's a dog. This guy, he's still playing like he don't have got a generator in his house no more. He's still balling like he's hungry. You can see the hunger in his
game. I love it.
Yeah,
you're right. He does have a youthful hunger to his game. Like, I got to go prove myself. Yep.
And, Joe, Jalen Hurts, they have to keep going on the center. Because I heard Ross say earlier, when you go on the center, you cannot see whether the quarterback's handing the ball off or he's keeping the ball a lot of time. That play action really messes up the linebackers, man, and the defense tackles. We have to stay under that. I don't care if Jalen Hurts don't like it. It works. And when something works, you don't go away from it. If it ain't broke, you don't try to fix it. That's the saying. And they got to keep doing this, man. I don't want – there's too much friction right now. We still got AJ putting out these cryptic posts. Guys, you're a championship team. Act like it. Act like you've been there before, guys. Keep this going and keep this momentum going. And let's not mess it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, it'd be foolish not to go under center this weekend. Terrence, appreciate the phone. It'd be foolish. I mean, Ross kind of laid it out there. And he the way he was describing it, you could see why every team that does it gets an advantage over, you know, doing the play action under center. It just, when you look at statistics on throwing the ball from play action under center, they're usually way better than throwing when you're not play action.
Yeah, because it freezes the defense. Yeah. And, you know, we played against some pretty stout defenses. That's why I said I would be surprised. Now, we would benefit tremendously from that this week, playing against the Giants, because they kind of got after us a little bit.
Well, and like you're saying, you could freeze their defensive line, make them have to hold
a
second.
Let me tell you, and I always go to this example, is the Peyton Manning one and Edgerrin James. When they, that little action, because when he drops back and as I display it.
Well, you're on YouTube.
YouTube.
Show the people.
He drops back and you got to respect that action, because as the defensive lineman, you're watching the ball. Mm-hmm. To see if he tucks it in his belly or not. So you're sitting there on this block, and you might have an offensive lineman beat, but you got to wait and see if it's a run play, because if you're up the field and it's a run play and you're out of position, he's off to the races. So you got to wait there, and then that's when the offensive lineman gets to reset and put his hands on you. So,
I got to tell you, I think we need to get a blackboard behind you.
I was thinking the same thing.
Some chalk.
Oh, that'd be fun. I could draw like little pictures.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah. You know what?
That's where we can put the 0 days without HR.
You know what? Why don't we just do it on the beautiful board you have behind you, and that'll be the next time you get called in by the office.
Yeah, yeah.
You ruined this.
Days without incident.
I mean, if we got a blackboard, days without incident in the corner, just chilling there behind you every day.
Days not being called into HR.
You remember the old
zero.
School ones where they used to roll them in the chalkboard?
Yeah,
we
did
one of those.
So wait, so
look on the Google.
I think it was
the chalkboard.
Last week's Broads and what's it called? Flyers and 60.
Oh yeah, he does. 15, whatever, he's got a little whiteboard.
He has a whiteboard. Yeah. So I mean, if Broads could do it on his segment on the afternoon
Hugh needs
show,
Hugh needs a chalkboard for sure.
Yeah, we need a chalkboard. But I might need to get a whiteboard though, because I'm already dark.
You know what I mean?
I'm already dark.
That is true.
Yeah. I don't need no more. All I see is teeth and gray hairs, Joe.
It's probably best that you said it that way. Yeah. It was your idea.
Yeah, I'll probably do that.
Okay, we'll get you one of those. All right. It also makes me think, remember the what was the show? Around the Horn. They just stopped that show recently. ESPN Around the Horn.
They did.
Yeah, I think like 4 months ago. Five. But Woody Page used to be one of the. He used to like write a. He used to have the whiteboard behind him.
Yeah, we gotta get a whiteboard.
And he used to like write a message of the day. We could also have Hugh write like his message of the day on the board behind him.
We might as well lean into this you people thing.
Lean fully into it. People can see.
After you give the Daily Douglas, we write it up on the board like it's an inspirational quote every day.
Yeah.
This is great. Yeah. I mean,
I'm shocked it took us this long to think about this.
I agree.
All it took is Hugh turning around and pretending to hand the ball off, and the idea was born. Mark in Boston is up on WIP. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Mark. What's up?
I think it's pretty clear based on the Hurts response that it was super general. Didn't even answer the question. He never answers the questions. They just say like buzzwords that don't really get to the bottom of what the reporter's asking. So I don't know what the previous caller was saying, but essentially, it made no sense. But anyway, I think what Chris Sim said and Baldy said are dead on. Here's what I really think is happening. I think what the coaches want Hurts to do, they don't trust that he can do. And the receivers, basically there's three different, the coaches know they have the personnel to do certain things, but they also know they don't trust Hurts' skill set to be able to do what that entails. So they're stuck. And that's what I think is really happening.
I think it's more, not. I know you're long talking a little bit, and I ain't mean to cut you off, but I think it's more, he's stubborn. It's not that he can't do it because he's done it. He did it last week. It's more stubborn.
But didn't they do it not because that was the game plan, but because they had to?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It seemed like that was at least part of it. Like, yes. So, Mark, we were not in their meeting, so I don't know how much they had planned versus how much they actually did on the field. But if I had to guess, they probably were going to do some, and then maybe when they had to switch the centers, they leaned into it a little bit more, and it worked.
But then my question is, why would it take this long if you look around the league and look at pure throwers and how they execute the play action? That's why their numbers are lit up, like 4,500 yards, 32 touchdowns.
Play action, in my time watching football, seems like it makes great quarterbacks elite. It makes good quarterbacks great. It makes average ones look really good. Like, Kyle Shanahan has been making quarterbacks look better with play action throws for 15 years now.
Yeah, because it confuses everything.
Yeah.
Hurts. Has enough arm strength. The problem with Hurts is he just doesn't process quickly and he doesn't get rid of the ball quickly enough, like anticipation throws. And that's where the disconnect is, where it's like, if he could do that, he would be mentioned with like all these pure throwers and all these elite throwers.
I agree with you. And the offense would look even better. Like if he, because we all see it, like he holds the ball a lot. Sometimes he waits till the guy comes fully open. Yeah, and I think you're probably right, and that's why the receivers get frustrated, because they know on their route, and Mark, we appreciate it, they know on their route, Hugh, the moment the ball should come out, right? Yeah. The way it's designed when they get to the top of their break. And then it doesn't always get there, and then you could see, obviously, AJ leads the charge, but you can see the frustration.
Yeah,
I mean, get it.
There's probably something to that. I don't know, because, you know, we've talked about all year how Jalen tends to hold the ball quite a bit. I just remember playing an era, man, with Dan Marino. He used to get mad.
Boom.
When cats wouldn't be. Like, he would throw to a spot, and if you weren't there, you got cussed out on the field.
You know, as you say that, I used to think when I looked at quarterbacks how often they got sacked. Oh, well, the quarterback that gets sacked a lot must have a bad offensive line. But Dan Marino, when I looked at his sack numbers in his career, he never got sacked.
Man,
but he might have been the slowest quarterback you'll ever see.
But he had the quickest release.
That's it. Like, he got rid of the ball.
Like, Joe, again, one of my fondest memories, even though we got our ass kicked, was my first game in the NFL. I had the absolute best seat in the house. To watch Dan Marino.
Best seat in the house.
That's those Jets teams for you.
No, dude.
They're like, I was just lucky to be there.
Unlike VJ Edgecombe, my first game in the NFL, I didn't light it up. I was just like, damn, who is this guy? I have never been on the field with somebody who got the ball out as quickly as he did.
You know, you really did have a great seat in the house for Marino, Barry Sanders, when he ran all up and down the field on you guys.
I had the
You got to see some greats
seat.
Kick your
That's
ass,
That's why
man.
When people talk about I wasn't this, that, or third, I'm like, fool, I had some of the best seats that you could ever have for any sporting event that you could ever talk about.
Dolphins 52, Jets 14.
Joe, he was out there, and I forgot the receivers right, but You talk about a field general.
Irving was on it. Irving Fryer was one of the guys.
But you talk about a field general.
Yep.
What the I told you to run this route. He would come to the line of scrimmage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he would call out what the receiver is supposed to run at the line. This is the max protection. You run the go route. You run this route. You run a slant. Ready? Break. And be like, damn, blue 52, hut. Boom. And I was sitting back like, is it going to be like this every week? Is it going to be like this every week?
Terms of wins and losses kind of was for you.
Man.
Yeah, kind of
no,
was.
I'm just saying, I've only seen a few quarterbacks do that where you're actually on the field and you watch them work. Yeah. And it's like, damn, this cat right here is no joke.
Don't get too comfortable. Speaking of damn, you got to dig deep in the box score to find one Hugh Douglas tackle this day. You were quiet. 215-592-9494.
It was my first day on the job.
215-592-9494. All right, we got a lot to get to in the 1 o'clock hour. Your phone call, something historic happened to a WIP host yesterday. We'll get to that, you people. Plus, surprise, surprise, Jalen Hurts was asked about A.J. Brown's social media activity yesterday. His response next, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's talk about FanDuel, my friends over there. Every Thursday, of course, we've got a football game. Your chance at the jackpot on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Because with FanDuel's Thursday touchdown jackpot, you can win a share of $2 million of bonus bets each week. To get in on this Thursday's action, all you have to do is place an anytime touchdown score bet before the game kicks off. And if your player scores the first or last touchdown of the game, you win your bet plus a share of bonus bets. FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to take a shot at the jackpot. FanDuel.com/GIGLIO for your chance to win a share of $2 million of bonus bets. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Joe to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.